سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم على أبي محمد الحسن بن علي بن أبي طالب ست رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وريحانته رضي الله تعالى عنه قال حفظت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك رواه الترمذي والنسائي وقال الترمذي حديث حسن صحيح. Alhamdulillah, with the father and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we continue the ahadith of the Arba'een of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh. And in this particular hadith, hadith number 11, narrated from Hassan, the son of Ali radiallahu anhuma. Hassan, who was the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the word sibtun means grandson, daughter's son. Wa rayhanatihi, the word rayhana, it means a fragrance. So he was the fragrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned regarding Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhuma, huma rayhanataya fi dunya, huma rayhanataya min al jannah. That these are my two fragrances. The person smells a beautiful fragrance. He becomes delighted. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would become delighted when he would see his grandsons. So he said, these are my two fragrance in this dunya and one riwayat in Jannah. Rasulullah likened them to fragrance, or some people say, some ulama and scholars have mentioned that the word rayhana means rizqullah. They were a provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are assistant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on occasion was delivering a khutbah. And the Sahaba were listening when suddenly his grandchildren appeared. And they came towards their Nana. And Rasulullah left the khutbah. He abandoned the khutbah. He went forward and he embraced them. He hugged them. He kissed them. This was the love he had for his children. So this hadith has been narrated by Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala was elder than Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, ulama say by 1 year. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned when he had once placed Hassan radiallahu ta'ala on his shoulder. Hazrat Bara radiallahu ta'ala says that I heard Rasulullah saying, Allahumma inni uhibbu fa'ahibba. Wallah, I love this Hassan, this grandchild of mine. Ya Allah, you also love him. And in another narration it is mentioned, man ahabbani falyuhibba. Whoever claims that he loved me, Rasulullah saying, whoever loves me, you should love this grandson of mine. Allahumma inni uhibbu. Wa uhibbu man yuhibbu. Wallah, I love him. Allah, I love those who love my Hassan. Fa ahibba man yuhibbu. Wallah, you love the one who loves my Hassan. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala was extremely generous. Even Hussein radiallahu anhu, both the brothers were extremely generous. It is mentioned that Hassan radiallahu ta'ala merely heard one person engage in dua and he was crying. And he required a certain amount of money. He said, oh Allah, I need 10,000 dirhams or dinars, whatever it was. فَانْصَرَفَ فَبَعْثَ بِهَا إِلَيْهِ. Hassan radiallahu merely heard this man supplicating to Allah for this amount of money, huge amount. He goes home, he gets the money and he sends it to this person. He is sitting once and Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, his beloved mother, observes that Hassan, they were eating, but Hassan was not eating with her. So she questioned him, why are you doing so? Why are you not partaking of meals with me? He said, أَخْشَى أَن يَقَعَ بَصَرُكَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَأَسْبِقُكَ إِلَيْهِ وَلَا أَشْعُرُ فَأَكُونُ عَاقًا لَكِ. He says, oh my beloved mother, I fear that perhaps whilst eating, your gaze may go on certain food, a certain morsel, and I may not know, and I may take away that morsel and consume that morsel, whereas it was your desire to eat that food, it was your desire to eat that morsel, and my hands goes to that first, and I put it into my mouth, then I will be like disobedient to you, O my mother. Allahu Akbar. Look at the level of the Sahaba's piety. Are we like that today? My respected mothers and sisters and elders, especially our students of this madrasa, it's a beautiful lesson of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Listen with an open mind, a clean heart. Listen with the ears of listening to the truth. Remove from your heart anything that goes against the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. There is a very great effort made by the enemies of Islam to pollute our minds with different types of things against the Sahaba. These were our great stars. So Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anhu tells him, Kul ma'i, don't worry, eat with me. There's no problem. You will never be disobeying me if you eat that morsel of food which perhaps I wanted. Hasan radiallahu anhu is mentioned that he used to say, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَحِي مِنْ رَبِّي أَنْ أَلْقَاهُ وَلَمْ أَمْشِي إِلَى بَيْتِهِ. I feel so embarrassed that I must go by some transport towards the haram to make hajj. I rather go walking to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we to meet my Allah, I'm feeling hard to use a conveyance, some mode of transport, some camel or horse. I rather walk. So he's mentioned he used to make hajj walking. فَحَجَّ خَمْسَ وَعْشِينَ مَرَّةً 25 times he made hajj walking from Medina. From Medina. وَهُوَ مَاشِنَ عَلَى رِجْلَيْهِ. Of course, it is permissible to use modes of transport. This was his level of taqwa. Hasan radiallahu ta'ala, after Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Sahaba had chosen him to be the Khalifa and remained the Khalifa for the 6 months. And of course, there was a problem that arose, and Hasan radiallahu ta'ala realized that he rather relinquished his post as Amir, as a Khalifa, and because some of the people wanted Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, and he foresaw there might be a battle, there might be a skirmish, there might be a huge problem among the Sahaba. So immediately he relinquished his position as Amir, and he passed on the Khilafah to Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. It is regarding this when somebody came and tells him, Assalamu alaikum, Ya Mudhil al-Mu'mineen, O one who has disgraced the believers, why did you relinquish your post? He said, I have not disgraced the believers, but I do not wish that I must fight over kingdom and for power. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one occasion when he saw Hasan radiallahu ta'ala, he mentioned, Inna ibni hadha sayyidun, this child of mine is a leader, and he become a leader. وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَن يُصْلِحَ بِهِ, and soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause two groups, بَيْنَ فِيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, two large groups of the Muslims who might be on the verge of fighting and on war, and through Hasan radiallahu ta'ala, Allah will cause peace and unity amongst them. So this is exactly what Rasulullah had mentioned and prophesied. Hasan radiallahu ta'ala saved the ummah from fighting just by relinquishing his post. Today we hold on to that kursi, towards that position, that post. We don't want anybody else to take over. And if something happens, then we become very, very angry. Look at the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is mentioned that he used to say, he should give very, very beautiful advices to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. It is mentioned, according to some historians, that his wife, or one of his wives, had poisoned him. And she was promised by Yazid that Yazid would marry her. And so she poisoned Hasan radiallahu ta'ala. He became very ill for a long period. فَمَرِضَ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا, for 40 days remained in that condition. And thereafter he passed away. And when it came then to the marriage part of his wife to marry Yazid, Yazid said, no, I'm not getting married to you. May Allah Ta'ala protect all of us from all types of fitan and fasad. May Allah give us the true qualities of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. It is mentioned regarding his status and condition was such that after his demise, and where did he pass away? In Madinah Munawwara, he is buried next to his beloved mother Fatima radiallahu ta'ala in Jannatul Baqi. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ بِحَتَّى رَضِيَ بِدَفْنِهِ بِالْبَقِي إِلَى جَانِبِ أُمِّهِ. It is mentioned one person who hated Hasan radiallahu ta'ala, was the enemy of Hasan radiallahu ta'ala, comes and he uses the qabr as a toilet, and he passes his feces over the qabr of Hasan radiallahu ta'ala. It is mentioned regarding that particular person, فَجُنَّ, he became insane. وَجَعَلَ يَنْبَحْ كَمَا يَنْبَحُ الْكَلْبِ, he began to now bark like a dog. And then he passed away after that. So these are lessons for us. Never to point any fingers and find faults against any Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many other incidents regarding Hasan radiallahu ta'ala, but let's go to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is reported to us by Hasan radiallahu ta'ala, was a very young Sahabi at that time. He says, I memorized for my nana, for my beloved grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, da'ma yuribuk ila ma la yuribuk. For this, those who are studying hadith, you can see da'ma yuribuk ila ma la yuribuk with the dhamma on the ya, or da'ma yaribuk ila ma la yaribuk with the fatah. Both mean the same. Means leave that which causes any doubt in you for that which does not cause you any doubt. If you are faced with a situation in which you are not sure, there is a doubt in your mind, in your heart, you are not at ease, there's some unrest, some agitation, there's something ambiguous, you're not certain, you're not sure whether that particular thing is permissible for you, whether you could consume it, whether you could purchase it, you're not sure, there is no clear-cut proof, you're not sure, there is some ambiguity, it could be haram, it could be halal, so you're not very sure. Rasulullah gives a simple principle, leave it out. You won't die if you don't have it. Leave it out and purchase that, engage in that which is lawful. So leave that which makes you doubt, which causes doubt in you, for that which does not cast any doubt in you. This is the meaning of the hadith. So this hadith highlights the importance of refraining from anything that is ambiguous, anything that is doubtful. Doubtful things cause unrest, agitation in the heart. The person is restless. The person is hesitant, not sure what to do. So the person is unsure whether he could engage in that particular action, consume that particular food or not. Rasulullah gave us an usul, a principle, that leave out anything that is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. This, in terms of Sharia, is also given a name which is called wara, waw ra'ain, which means to be scrupulous. A person is extra cautious, is extra careful. He rather abandon that particular item. He rather not purchase that item, but his heart is at ease. He purchased that which is 110% sure it is permissible for him. It is halal for him. We go sometimes to the supermarket. We're not sure of the ingredients. And there is a doubt that there is some type of ingredient which is haram here. And right next to it, we know something else, similar type of item, which is we can purchase. And we know it is definitely permissible. It is halal. Take that item which is halal. Leave out that which is haram. Until you know definitely, until you know it is halal, then you can purchase it. So don't go and put yourself into a situation. What is going to happen? If you purchase that which is doubtful and you consume it, and later on you come to know it was absolutely haram. Imagine how. How do you feel? You feel terrible that I actually consumed that which is haram. That haram morsel went into my belly. I could have done without it. I wouldn't die if I didn't have it. I could have purchased something else which I knew was halal. Therefore, this is the usul. Salaf al-Salihin, the pious predecessors, there are so many examples. Any type of shuba, any type of doubt that came into any particular monies or dealing, they would abstain from it. They would refrain from it. Even though they gained a huge profit. Today, if a person sells a container of goods, and he has a very big profit. He makes a big profit. And then there's some doubt that is casted. He's not sure. He goes fatwa shopping. And he goes to find until he gets a fatwa that gives him some type of justification that, okay, it is okay, permissible for you. But deep down in his heart, he is uneasy. He's restless if he's a true believer. And hence, if a true believer experiences any type of agitation and unrest, then what he should do? He should abstain from it. There are stories of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. Something was sold for him by his servant or the person who was employed by him. And then Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi asked the person, did you tell this person there was this type of fault in it? He says, no. All the monies that was gained were then given out in charity. There are so many examples that in the inheritance, a person inherited thousands of dinars. But he realized that the inheritance money that came to me, it was polluted with haram. It was interest riba money, insurance money, or gambling money. It was got from haram sources. So the person then did not take a single cent. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah himself, when he received some inheritance, because there was some doubt, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah also did not take that inheritance money that came to him. So we have been shown a method that will leave us with peace of mind, tranquility in our hearts. Adopt this clear principle. And if you adopt this clear principle, if you have this quality of wara in you, you are scrupulous, then it will first of all give you a tranquil heart, peaceful mind. At night when you're sleeping, you're not restless. You're not sure. You're not uncertain of anything that you did now. Now you are sure. You know you consumed halal. You know you purchased halal. You know you said the right thing. It will distance this person from anything which is haram in Sharia. Anything which is makruh, reprehensible. It will create a person, more cautiousness in a person. And he'll be more wary of Allah Ta'ala's commandments. And of course, we mentioned in the previous hadith, that if any haram morsel goes into your belly, your du'as won't be answered. Now when a person is cautious and he refrains from doubtful things, then he knows that whatever is in his system is absolutely halal and his du'as will be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, ultimately, it saves a person from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And besides the embarrassment you get in this world, your friends and you go to the supermarket and they tell you, no, don't buy this. This is doubtful. And you still insist. You say, no, it looks okay. And you purchase it. And they purchase the correct one, the halal one. And later on, when you find out, you found what you purchased was haram. Imagine how they will taunt you and the embarrassment you face them. Worse than this embarrassment of the dunya is the embarrassment of the akhirah. Because of haram, doubtful things, it will lead a person to jahannam. Therefore, da'ma yuribuk ila ma la yuribu. Some ulama have explained the small incident behind this hadith, wherein Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu was a little child and he picked up a date from the house of Rasulullah and he put it into his mouth. Rasulullah immediately goes, Dakhin, Dakhin, take it out, take it out. Rasulullah removes this date from his mouth and Rasulullah explains to him, little child, Rasulullah explains to this grandson of his who was understanding. He says, Inna la na'kulu as-sadaqa, we are the Ahlul Bayt. Sadaqa is not permissible for us. These dates, this pile of dates you see here, these are for sadaqah, for those poor people who deserve sadaqah. We cannot consume sadaqah. It's not lawful for us. It's, therefore, we cannot have this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to understand this very important usul and to apply it in our lives. Many a times, people go shopping or going to purchase something. Purchase that which you know 100% it is halal and refrain from anything which is dubious. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. This is a simple hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is short, yet it is so profound. It has so many meanings. Ulama have mentioned that if a person engages in doubtful things, what is going to happen? His heart is going to become blind. And when the spiritual heart becomes blind, then it will produce only evil actions. Al-amal al-madhmuma. And therefore, what we require is yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or yaqeen in the thing that we are doing. If we are purchasing something, then make sure it is absolutely halal. And a person cannot be a true muttaqi. لا يبلغ العبد أن يكون من المتقين حتى يدع ما لا بأس به حذرا مما به بأس. A person knows something is permissible, yet it's not necessary for him to have it, but it could lead him into something which is not permissible. So he refrains from that which is permissible also to save himself from that which may lead him to something which is impermissible. Then this is the true wara a person has. And he, if he has this quality, then he is the true muttaqi person. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.